This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday, it's hump day, and it's an enormous day today. Yes, we are going to discuss China, the tariff thing. In fact, we're going to discuss Donald Trump himself, because apparently 99% of the country needs an education on somebody. Everyone should be familiar with at this point in time. We'll talk about that. We're going to wrap up our World War I history story at the start of hour number two. That's always a really good time. Some very, very terrible admiral got kicked out of the Navy. Someone terrible got kicked out of the IRS. We'll talk about the communist infiltration, naming your kids Michelle Obama's podcast as a gigantic flop, all that, emails, and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But I actually want to first start with Trump. Tariffs, China, negotiating, all these things. I'll get to that in a moment. Let me tell you a little boot camp story. Marine Corps boot camp. You see, Marine Corps boot camp is a fascinating thing to a lot of people who've never been through it and to people who have been through it. I'll say this, Marine Corps boot camp is so effective at taking young people in molding them into something totally different from what they were before, that Marine Corps boot camp is studied by nations around the globe. Did you know that? They will send observers. Schools in other countries will send observers to Marine Corps boot camp to try to figure out, wait, 3 months? It's 3 months worth? How did you take that and turn him into that? How do you do that? So here's something that happens to you. It certainly happened to me multiple times in boot camp. So I want you to picture this, okay? This will come back to Trump and everything else. You just got to stay with me for a moment. You can picture in your mind what the barracks look like in Marine Corps boot camp. You've seen enough movies to know. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. You know, you have rows of bunks on each of the sides and then rows of bunks up the middle, right? You picture, this is the barracks. It's Marine Corps boot camp. Here's a bunk. You got it, okay? At the foot of every single bunk, because again, it's two beds, there are two foot lockers. You know what a footlocker is, the big rectangular box. In this footlocker in boot camp is everything you own. And I want to stress, you're not going to find your iPhone in there. It's everything you're allowed to have, which is only Marine Corps stuff. That's it. I think when I was in, you were allowed to have some letter writing things if you wanted to physically write a letter home. Other than that, your footlocker, it is as Marine as it gets. And one of the most amazing things is, let's say there are 80 people in a boot camp platoon. If you went up and down the line and opened up 80 foot lockers, all 80 would look virtually identical. They are organized the same way, labeled the exact same way. This is here, that is there. You have little labels on your socks, on your everything. Everything is folded or rolled in the exact same way. Clean, neat, organized. You picturing this? Stay with me. Now, there will come a day, if you find yourself in Marine Corps boot camp, where the drill instructors are going to punish you. The infraction will generally be real, but it usually is not that big of a deal. At least not in your mind at the time. Your buddy didn't shave. Maybe there's a footlocker inspection, and you will definitely have those. You will be forced to unlock your footlocker, open it up, and they will go through to make sure everything is labeled and organized correctly. Or, God forbid, They walk by and they find your footlocker has been unlocked. You may catch the drill instructor on the wrong day, or maybe, just like in Donald Trump's case, maybe this is all planned. The drill instructors will collectively lose their minds on you, and this is what will happen next. You picturing all these bunks? Remember, the bunks have been meticulously made down to the inch. It has to be done perfectly. The footlockers, meticulous. Everything's done perfectly. The instructors will, well, at least the time they did it to us, they herded us all into the bathroom. We all piled into the bathroom where they dumped ammonia on the floor so we couldn't breathe. As guys are trying to get their breath and crying, the drill instructor, crying just because it's in your eyes, the drill instructors went back out to the barracks, took every single bunk, destroyed it, dumped the mattress and the things on the bunk into a one big pile in the center of the barracks. They then took every single footlocker, 80 of them, 80, meticulously organized. They made you unlock it beforehand, and then they dumped the contents of every single footlocker in the exact same pile in the middle of the barracks, and then they dragged you, coughing and crying, out of the bathroom and essentially said, look, you have 10 minutes. Fix it. Which, of course, is impossible. And if I remember right, it was probably 2 or 3 hours of we would run as fast as we could to get everything fixed. Is that your shoes? Those are my socks. Help me with the bed. Someone help me with this. You would fail because it can't be done in 10 minutes. They would then drag everything back into the center, dump it all out in the center, and make you do it again and again and again and again and again. Now, why? Is it just torture? Is that it? You're right, Chris. Maybe that's a little bit of it. Is it just torture? Chaos, and the appearance of chaos, can be extremely beneficial if it's intentional, if there's a purpose to it. You will learn in the end. You want to hear something insane? Here's something insane, but it's true. Towards the end of that 2 hours, you're sweating, you're doing push-ups, you're miserable, you're frustrated, they're dumping, they're yelling, it's horrible. Towards the end of that two hours, myself and most of my close friends, when the drill instructors weren't looking, started laughing about the whole thing. This is just ridiculous. This sucks. Oh, gosh. Life sucks. You're laughing about the whole thing. You learn to deal with the chaos, the misery, to process it a different way. And there's an educational benefit. How many guys left their footlockers unlocked after that fateful day? Zero. When you open up the doors and you walk in and drill instructors are dumping everyone's stuff in the center, it looks like chaos, insanity, anarchy, pointless insanity. That's what it looks like. But chaos, or the appearance of it, can be used to great benefit and has been used to great benefit time and time and time again. So let's talk about Donald Trump. It's going to be kind of about tariffs, but it's not really about tariffs because there's something that I see happening repeatedly over and over and over again. 99% of the U.S. population takes part in this, and it baffles me to no end. Trump has a negotiating style that is not uncommon in the business world. No, everybody doesn't do it like this, but it's not uncommon in the business world. Trump has an extremely chaotic, or at least appearingly chaotic, style of negotiating. And so what he will do when he is trying to get something out of Kim, the tyrant in North Korea, Trump will do and say everything He will insult him. He'll wake up one morning and go to social media. This stupid fat blob in North Korea. What an idiot. He better be careful. I'll shove a missile up his rear end. And then the very next day, I'll tell you, I've always gotten along with Kim. He's been a pretty good dude. And I'll tell you, very, very reasonable. And then the next day you wake up, I'll send some warships over there. We'll pulverize that place to nothing. Then the next day, you know, I could see some real nice properties in North Korea, and I think Kim has a good vision for the country. And what happens is Trump's worshipers and Trump's haters, they all react to every single thing he says every single day, running to and fro. Did you see what Trump said? Oh, it's so genius. Oh my gosh, I love him. Oh my gosh, did you see what Trump said? What an idiot. What a moron. This guy's crazy. This guy's going to destroy us all. His worshipers, his lovers, every single day chasing the laser across the room like they're cats. Oh my gosh, it's great, it's horrible. Ah! Why are you still doing that to yourself? Trump negotiates like that. It appears chaotic with a goal in mind. And I'm not saying his goal is always correct. I'm not saying it's always wrong. He's aiming for something always. Talk about that a little bit more in a moment. Before we talk about that, why are you putting up with pain? Why do you think you have to live like that? You don't have to live doing the thing because your back hurts every time you bend over. Oh, I know. Does it sound familiar? Yeah, I know what that feels like. Why are you doing the rubbing your knee, your elbow, your hand that hurts all the time? Stop. And stop taking things to mask it because that's terrible for you. Try Relief Factor. 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. It's a unique formula of natural ingredients. You see, your body's already trying to fight the inflammation. Your body just needs a little boost. That's what Relief Factor is, the boost. Stop treating it temporarily and stop ignoring it and get it out of your life so you can get back to living the way you want to live. 3 weeks of it is $19.95. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Wednesday, a hump day, reminding you you can email the show jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Yes, we got a bunch of hate mail, too, of things I said yesterday, and all kinds of people who love the history, hated the history. I don't care. We're still going to do that again about 45 minutes from now. Back to what we were talking about, and I'll play you some Trump things from today. Because you saw it. It was 2-3 days of everyone's getting a tariff. Tariffs for everybody. Today we wake up and hold on a minute. Just China's getting a tariff?
It has brought more than 75 countries forward to negotiate. It took great courage for him to stay the course until this moment. And what we have ended up with here, as I told everyone a week ago, they're in this very spot. Do not retaliate and you will be rewarded. So every country in the world who wants to come and negotiate, we are willing to hear you. We're going to go down to a 10% baseline tariff for them, and China will be raised to 125 due to their insistence on escalation.
China, you wanted to escalate, yours gets jacked through the roof. Everyone else who was nice about it, come on to D.C., let's work out a deal. Scott Bessent talked about it more.
But in terms of escalation, unfortunately, the biggest offender in the global trading system is China. And they're the only country who's escalated. And you know, I can tell the rest of the world that I'm not sure whether it was the prime minister or the economic minister in Spain made some comments this morning. Oh, well, maybe we should align ourselves more with China. That would be cutting your own throat, because I can tell you that these Chinese exports that the U.S. tariff wall is going to keep out, that China, for all of you who can remember that Disney.
Okay, you got it. Caroline Levitt talked about it.
As you all know, the president just put out a statement announcing an additional tariff on China. The tariff on China will now go up to 125% because China.
How did it all work out like this? Well, Trump himself said something pretty revealing. You Trump haters who hate everything he does, and you Trump worshipers who worship everything he does, should listen closely.
I'm telling you, these countries are calling us up, kissing my ass. They are dying to make a deal. Please, please, sir, make a deal. I'll do anything. I'll do anything, sir. And then I'll see some rebel Republican, you know, some guy that wants to grandstand, say, I think that Congress should take over negotiations. Let me tell you, you don't negotiate like I negotiate.
You don't negotiate like I negotiate. Vietnam pledges to buy more U.S. goods as it seeks urgent trade talks. Everything's on the table, Bessent says, on potentially delisting Chinese stocks. Bessent says aligning with China with trade is like cutting your own throat. We just played that for you over and over and over again. And this is not me coming here telling you that Donald Trump's tariff trade war was the most brilliant thing in history. And this is not me coming here telling you that Trump's tariff trade war was the dumbest thing in history. Neither of those things are true. This is me telling you that Donald Trump has a goal in mind. He has a chaotic way of negotiating things where he will come down seemingly on all sides of every issue. He will insult and compliment every person involved in every issue. And from the outside looking in, it appears chaotic. And if you take anything he says during negotiations as face value, as evidence of his brilliance or the fact that he's the devil himself, you are in fact the moron, because we have years and years and years of evidence showing this is how he does it. When Trump talks about Greenland, it's actually a perfect example of this. Can you even go down the list of all the things he said about Greenland? I want Greenland. We're going to buy it. I think we'll buy it. No, you know what? We might military invade it. I think I'll bomb it. I love the people there. Hey, the people there better be careful. I'm not really sure. I might send a smart bomb. I might send some cash. Hey, what do you think? And every single day, whether you adore Donald Trump or whether you think he's garbage, he gives you something else to wrap your arms around and say, look, look, he's a moron. I told you he's a moron. Or look, look. Look, I told you he's perfect. Look at the God King. He's perfect. He's a man with a goal, and he has an idea of how to get to the goal. And chaotic negotiating is how he gets to every single goal, every single time. I didn't say you can't insult the goal. Maybe you don't like the goal. That's fine. You're a human being with thoughts and feelings, and you're allowed to have opinions on Trump too. Hate him or love him, I don't care. But let's rise above the stupid daily noise. Let's rise above reacting and responding to everything Trump says when he's in the middle of a negotiation. What Trump says when he's in the middle of a negotiation, I'm not going to say it's meaningless because he does it with a purpose, but it is nothing, absolutely nothing that you should ever take to heart. Because one day he's going to call you a fat, ugly moron, and the next day he's going to wake up and tell you you're the most beautiful person he's ever seen in his life. Is it Trump being different? Yeah, it's very different. It's very, very different. And it's hard for a lot of people to understand what's going on. But that's what he's doing. And you know what? Today it's about tariffs in China. Tomorrow it'll be about something else. And the next day it'll be about something else. And the eternal hyperventilating class will continue every day responding to everything said as if what I just said isn't painfully obvious. He has a purpose. Chaotic negotiations have a purpose, and Trump uses them to his advantage. Let's at least be mature enough to realize that. All right, let's talk about something else wonderful that just happened yesterday. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. I'm so happy to be here. As you can tell, I'm in a better mood today. Got some good breakfast tacos this morning that really put me on. What, Chris? No, different place, buddy. I told you, different place. That other one, I'm never going back, buddy. Powdered eggs? You're dead to me. You're dead to me. You might as well spit in my face. Anyway, had some good breakfast tacos today. It set the tone for my day. When I wake up, knock out some good breakfast tacos, it's going to be a good day. Now, I'm just in a good mood because of the news out of Texas. Spoiler alert, I'll circle back to this. Ha ha, Jen Psaki. I'll circle back to it. But Ken Paxton, Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton announced last night that he's going to challenge John Cornyn, Texas Senator John Cornyn, in a primary. John Cornyn's primary is next year. So pause on that. We'll come back to that specific thing. Why can't we get things done faster? It's April 9th. How much of the Trump agenda that you voted for, how much of it has been written into law? We have the House. We have the Senate. Why isn't more getting done that's concrete? Right? I like the executive orders. You like the executive orders. That's fine. But you know, just like I do, I know you know this. You email about it all the time. Next guy's just going to come in and undo them all, same way Trump undid Biden's. Why isn't more getting done? Why aren't we getting real spending cuts? Well, Congress is the problem. The House and Senate. Remember, it's all Congress. The House and Senate. Okay, well, that's kind of general, though. Who's the problem? Long-serving Republicans, you know them as establishment or swamp types, they are not only the problem in D.C., they are the ones who keep their foot in the door so communism can continue to invade every single part of the United States of America. They are not the communists themselves. They're the ones who keep the door open. So how do they even stay there? What's going on? Well, here's how it works. I've explained it before in D.C. The Mitch McConnells of the world, the John Cornyns of the world, how it works is they get to Washington, D.C., and what you find out is this. I actually experienced this when I was running for office. These gigantic industries, some good, some bad, but in general, they're just industries that are in it for themselves. They start lobbying you. They will end up, you'll end up at a dinner with them, at a party with them, at something with them. And we'll make this about the defense industry because it's one of the most crooked industries in the country. Let's say you're at a big dinner and all the big shots from, who's a big one? Boeing are there. All the big shots from Boeing are there. And they're going to start pouring honey in your ear about how necessary this weapon system is and how necessary that one is. And why are they telling that to you, Senator? They're saying that to you because there's a new budget coming up and they want to ensure that you will put a large amount of money for them in the new bill that's coming. Okay, but why would you do that? You're a senator from a red state. Your constituents want you to be fiscally responsible. Well, you do that because there's a give and take, if you will. They're going to make sure your campaign coffers are full of millions and millions of dollars. That's how it works. They will write gigantic checks for your reelection campaign. You will take the gigantic checks that have been written to you by the DC swamp. The DC swamp is rich. And you will not only fund your own reelection campaign, you will shell that money out to other senators or potential senators. You'll host big fundraisers for them. You'll write them checks. And in return, they will elect you to important, powerful committee positions in the Senate because you helped them out. Hey, Chris, here's $10 million for your Senate campaign in Montana. Oh, you won your Senate campaign in Montana? Hey, Chris, can I count on your vote for GOP leadership in the Senate? Oh, I can? That's wonderful. Now that I'm in GOP leadership, I have even more access to DC swamp money because I have even more power. Okay, you get how it works, right? The more you suck up to the DC swamp, the more money comes in, the more money comes in, the more you fund your reelection, and the more you buy influence. Now, the problem with that is you become, as an establishment Republican, you become highly, highly invested in everything staying exactly as it is. Reform? What? Cuts? That's the last thing in the world you want. In fact, you are paid by these industries in a roundabout way. You are paid by these industries in part to ensure there is no reform. You are paid to make sure nothing changes. That's what John Cornyn, that's why he gets all that money. That's why all that money flows in. He is paid by industries who want the crooked status quo to remain. And on top of buying all that influence, he does something else. You honestly, this will apply to all of America, not just Texas. Stay with me here, because they all do it. McConnell does it. Thune does it. Cassidy does it. Rounds does it. Graham does it. They all do it. They all do it. They hoover up all this DC cash. They screw us over for 5 of the 6 years they're in the United States Senate, because senators serve 6-year terms. And then, well, you see, if you have to defend them, they understand Norm. They understand Norma. They understand the GOP primary voter. They know who he is. They know where he is. They know what he watches. They know what he listens to. And when election year rolls around, they take millions and millions and millions of dollars that's been hoovered up from the DC swamp, and they saturate the television airwaves, the radio airwaves. Today, it's social media is a huge place where they spend a bunch of money, YouTube or Twitter or Facebook or wherever you may be, Instagram. They spend millions and millions and millions of dollars telling Norm and Norma how conservative they are. And now, more importantly, they tell them how much they love Trump. John Cornyn, actually grab this soundbite if you can find it, Chris. It was from yesterday. Ken Paxton, or maybe it was from today, Ken Paxton announced on the news last night that he was going to challenge John Cornyn for this Senate seat. Maybe Chris will find it, maybe he won't, but John Cornyn was asked about it in the Senate building, and I think John Cornyn mentioned Donald Trump's name 5 times in his response. Oh, what's that? I'm being challenged for my Senate seat? Oh, did I sign up with Democrats for gun control and things like that? Well, you know what? You know what I have to say to that? I'm a big fan of Trump. I'm a Trump guy, and Trump this, and Trump. I've always loved Trump, and I love Trump now. I love him even more, and I'm a big Trump man. That's going to be what he runs on. He's going to spend millions and millions of dollars telling GOP primary voters in Texas that he and Trump, they're best friends. Look at Donald Trump and me. I love being part of Trump, and Trump this, and Trump that. I love it. Oh, Chris, you have it? Yeah, play. This was John Cornyn today.
Do you have any level of concern about Paxton running to the right of you in this primary?
Well, the biggest potential loser is President Trump's agenda. I've been a supporter of the president during his first term of office, and that's continued during his current term. Mr. Paxton has a checkered background. He is a con man and a fraud. And I think the people of Texas know that.
Oh, well, I just love Trump. But that brings me, of course, to this primary and why you should care. No matter where you're listening right now, you don't have to be in Texas to care about this. I'm going to explain flat out why you should care. In fact, I might even do a little bit of World War I history next segment to prep for the final one in order to show you why and how you should care. Before we get to that, though, I know you love history. Well, half of you do. I love it. I can't get enough of it. And it's very, very difficult to find somebody who can make it interesting. I found that. It's an eternal frustration of mine. Hillsdale makes it interesting. When Hillsdale's offering a free online course about stories from the book of Genesis, doesn't that sound like that has the potential to be boring? Oh my gosh, it's amazing. It's amazing. The way Hillsdale presents these things in a way that not only I can enjoy it as a history freak, but my kids, my wife. You want a free online course about the Constitution? The Roman Republic? Hillsdale's giving them out at no cost. I just so appreciate that. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse gets you a Hillsdale education at no cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Wednesday, a hump day, 10 minutes away from doing some history. And then in the final hour, we go through hate mail. Michelle Obama's podcast is drowning. The head of the IRS is leaving. And a woman named November June. Gosh, what a spectacular show we still have on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, why should you care about the Texas Senate primary? Unless you're in Texas, right? Listen to me. But why should you care? Well, we don't have one of these types, John Cornyn types. We have a lot of them. I'm not talking about Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski from these kind of purple states where that's about as good as we can hope for. We have a lot of these entrenched DC swamp establishment types. You know their names. Lindsey Graham and John Thune and Cassidy and Rounds and Tillis. And look, I could go down the list of them. Red state after red state after red state. They get in there. They feel completely secure in their seat because they're from blood red states. And they feel completely confident that they can screw their constituents over and then buy their way out of trouble in an election year. And they've been able to operate that way for a long time. But you can make an example of somebody. We've been talking about the Italian campaign of World War I. In fact, I'm going to wrap that up here in about 10 minutes from now. You know what decimation is? You ever heard that term? You probably have. Most people have. We got decimated, a decimation. But people actually use that term incorrectly, you see. Decimation does not mean wiping out somebody entirely. It's not what it means at all. It's a Latin term that were taken from a Latin term because that's what the Romans spoke. It means essentially one-tenth. That's what it means. Decimal, one-tenth. But how did that work in practice? If you, this and this wasn't used all the time in Rome, it was something they pulled out occasionally. If your unit failed terribly or showed cowardice on the battlefield, they didn't want to kill all of you. Then you lose an entire unit. So they essentially drew straws. You ever drawn straws? They drew straws and they would take one man out of 10 and they would have his nine buddies, his nine friends, his nine buddies in his unit. They would beat him to death. Horrible, isn't it? Absolutely awful. In fact, the Italians brought this practice back during that Italian World War I campaign. They would routinely, because there were all kinds of mutinies and all kinds of things going on because of the horrible battlefield conditions, they would just draw straws, find 10 guys, 12 guys, and have the entire unit line up and shoot them. Why would you do something so horrible? I don't support the practice, I should note, but why is that something that's a thing? Because you just got to make an example of one, and the others will learn. It is everything that we defeat John Cornyn next year in his Texas primary. It is everything. Because John Cornyn, if you could build from scratch the evil establishment DC swamp GOP guy that I just described, you would build John Cornyn. And if we are able to take him out in a primary in a red state, it'll do so much more than improve the United States Senate. It will send a message to every single one of these losers in the establishment that they had better be really, really careful when they think about screwing us over again, because now we have changed. Now we are involved. Now we will take you out in a primary if you do us wrong. We have never sent these senators that message, ever. We never do it. Every time we don't show up in the primary, or if we do, we do the same lame crap and we show up and vote for the guy who's been there screwing us over. These senators have lived on that. They have lived on our stupidity and our complacency. If we can change that and take out a GOP senator as powerful as John Cornyn, he's going to have unlimited money. It will be unlimited. If we can take him out with all that power, all that money, if we can take him out in a primary, it will send a shot across the bow of all these types. And look, I am aware of the Trump factor. I am. For all his benefits, I'm not sure there's a worse person to pick in GOP primaries, a worse selector of GOP primaries in the history of the Republican Party than Donald Trump. It's unbelievable. One day he'll wake up and he'll call for a primary of Chip Roy, and the next day he wakes up and pours love all over Lindsey Graham and endorses him. John Cornyn didn't drop that soundbite that we played for you earlier. I'm a Trump guy. I love Trump. Always love Trump. He didn't drop that on accident. The rumor mill is saying that John Thune, GOP Senate leader John Thune, very powerful man, that his minions are pouring honey in Trump's ear as we speak. Hey, man, you got to endorse Cornyn. Hey, Cornyn's there for you. Endorse Cornyn. Please endorse Cornyn. We don't have to pray that Donald Trump gets involved on behalf of Ken Paxton. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But pray that Donald Trump does not endorse John Cornyn. Because if he does endorse John Cornyn, and you better believe that's a possibility. Write that one down, Chris. If he does endorse John Cornyn, we're probably toast. It probably completely kneecaps our effort here. So we don't have to have him on Ken Paxton's side. As of right now, Ken Paxton is pulling ahead of John Cornyn. We can win this. We just can't have him counter-signal it. He's the most powerful, most influential Republican in the country. If he comes in on Cornyn's side, there's probably no way we're going to overcome that. Norm will hear, oh, okay, it's what Trump wants, and then we're finished. So pray about that. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take me to wrap up this World War I thing. May just be a segment or two, maybe the whole hour. We'll wrap that up, and then we'll move on, talk about some other issues in the country. Let's first save a baby's life. That's what we do with preborn. We save a baby's life. Once a woman sees her baby, once they hear the heartbeat, did you know this? They're twice as likely to choose life. It doubles. The baby's chance at living doubles because of your $28. That is being the hands and feet, not just saying you're pro-life, not just railing against abortion. How are you changing the hearts of the young women who want to kill their babies? These young women don't know. They're lost. They're uninformed. When she hears that heartbeat, then she knows that she's a mom already with a baby to protect. It is alive. You and preborn are saving these lives every day. It's tax deductible. Give what you can. $28. Give $28 a month. Give it automatically. You never know it's gone. Give them as much as you want. I don't care. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.